Number one, we need a mobilized laity in the Church of the Nazarene. We have concentrated heavily on clergy development. We have concentrated heavily on clergy preparation. But I tell you what, the strength of the Church has always been in the laity of the Church. And it's my argument that there should always be in the balance, not of power, but in the balance of ministry responsibility, there should always be more lay people than clergy people. Amen. Number two, biblical literacy. We are suffering from an epidemic of biblical illiteracy in the Church. And going forward into your next 80 years, I pray that that will be something that as a local church, we will work hard on. We need to work hard on that as a district and as a nation. Number three, a well-prepared clergy. A well-prepared clergy. We have the traditional route of getting an undergraduate degree and then a seminary degree and then come to a church. That luxury is gone. It still exists, the possibility exists, but the luxury of having people uproot from where they are in this economy is likely not going to allow us to do that. So we need to find creative ways to prepare our clergy well. We need ministry congruency. What does that mean? Let me give you some acronyms. SDMI, NYI, NMI, NCMC. Janet, your head's just spinning listening to that. And so is ours. The acronyms belie the power behind it. And one of the things I've been called to do is to bring these departments together in a coherent strategy to get the job done. Number five, evangelistic fervor. I think it was yesterday at some point we watched a program on Billy Graham as he continued right up until the last breath that he breathed to declare Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, I tell you, the only way that we are going to get the job done is to keep that story before our society and let God's Spirit do the rest. God doesn't call us to convert anybody. If he does, we have a weak church. Conversion comes from the Lord through the power of his Holy Spirit. And finally, holy living. Those are the six things. Holy living, not just by building a memorial around Article Number 10 in the Church of the Nazarene, but holy living by a clear demonstration that it is actually possible to live the holy life here in this world. So Bruce, I'll tell you what, I'll come back some other day to flesh that out, but I really want to talk about a different spirit today. Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? The reading of God's word. And it comes from Joshua chapter 14, beginning to read in verse 6. Joshua chapter 14, beginning to read in verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenezite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and about me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions." That's very, very important. Don't let those words get lost. "I brought back a report," says Caleb, "according to my convictions." Not according to my head, but according to my heart. "But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on the day that Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I am as strong today as the day Moses sent me ministry deserves the kind of treatment that this word provides. That we feel as good today as we did the day that this church opened its doors for the very first time. That's perseverance. That is a deliberate statement and a word of testimony from a person who in those 45 years from the day God said he would go into the land until the day he actually got to go, he experienced every emotion that a person is likely to experience. We think of great people of the Word. We think of Abraham, and we would describe him as a man of tremendous faith. We think of Jacob, and we would describe him as a man of tremendous fear. That is, when he awoke in that place where he named it Bethel and said, "This is a terrible place." It was the use of a word that, of course, we have translated terrible, but what it really means, it is an awesome place. It is where the presence of God is. And remember that where the presence of God is, there is not only peace and wonder, but there is often fear. Just ask Jacob, or just ask the shepherds in the fields outside of Bethlehem. Their first response to the presence of God was fear. And in the church, we also believe that fear that we recognize when we're in the presence of God is more an awesomeness. It is a respect for. It is a recognizing that we are somewhere quite different. So if we think about these great people of the Bible who have the great descriptors, we must hear the description of Caleb, who in the Word is described as a man with a different spirit. It's not only men, by the way, who have different spirits. It is women who have different spirits. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a different spirit. And yes, we are a Protestant organization, but I want to tell you something. Let's not lose sight of the role that Mary, the mother of Jesus, plays in the story of God. A tremendous, tremendous story. A tremendous contribution. A person with a different spirit. A person chosen by God to carry his son and to give birth to Jesus. People with a different spirit don't always understand what they're doing when it happens. People with a different spirit sometimes have questions. What's going on? Sometimes people with a different spirit face persecution more than just the ordinary. I'm not being judgmental here. I'm just saying what God requires. And so Joshua and Caleb, these two people who I would argue both had a different spirit, are standing now listening to Moses as he chooses 12 people to go and view the territory that he has promised them. It wasn't a weekend outing. It was going to be for 40 days where they had to bring back a report. They're going to tell us what this land is really like, notwithstanding the fact that God has already said you're going. And so for 40 days they go in, they explore the land, they see the giants, they see all of the difficulties, but they also see a land flowing with milk and honey. And there are two ways to report on anything. You can bring back a report and you can say, listen, there's a land there and it is flowing with milk and honey, but there are giants. Or you can come back and you can say, listen, there's a land there and there's a lot of giants, but it is flowing with milk and honey.
Amen.
And it depends where you put the emphasis in any report or in anything that you see in this community or across this country, where you put your emphasis is what will get your attention. And so Caleb comes back with Joshua, and the report is given. And in Sunday school, as I get my heart warm to see those pictures of all of those kids and adults in Sunday school. I remember in Sunday school in Northern Ireland, my favorite time was when we could put music to a Bible story. And so this was one of them. You know, 12 spies were sent to spy on Canaan. You know that one? Okay, let me just see. 10 were bad. I've lost half a thumb, so I forget the 9.5. 10 were bad. 2 were good. And then you repeat that over and over again. And then you choose who the bad ones are and who the good ones are. And while I do believe it is important to have a visual for a Bible story, if we're going to have a visual, we have to get it right. Because I have learned over the years, working with boards and committees and trying to solve differences and being called in to put fires out, that just because somebody disagrees with your perspective does not make them bad. It just makes them different. In our Sunday school, we adopted the word bad, but it's not in the scriptures. It's just our way, particularly in Northern Ireland, to divide it. These people who were chosen by God weren't bad people. They were leaders of the tribes. If they were good enough to be leaders of the tribes, well, then they were good enough to hear the report. They just brought a different report. And over the last 80 years, you had times, Pastor, in your board where not everybody agreed with your recommendations. Where we did not have unanimity in our decision-making process. And the problem with that is that so often churches become divided and split because there's a direct assumption made that, oh, because somebody had a different opinion, they must be bad. I would say to you in the years ahead, in the 80 years or the 800 years that God might give us before he sends his son Jesus back, let the differences of opinion in our congregation serve to strengthen us and not divide us.
Amen.
And when things in your church don't go the way you want them to go, just do what Caleb did. Just wait. God does not pay all his bills on Friday. Just wait. But wait, I say, on the Lord. And how long would that waiting be as we would speak to Caleb? Well, maybe a year. Maybe a decade. Maybe 4 of those decades plus half a decade. And what was he doing in all of those days of waiting for God to fulfill his promise? We're not really sure. But part of the responsibility of a preacher is to maybe use a little poetic license. Maybe to paint a picture. Maybe to say that we have some evidence here that the spirit of Caleb, because it's a different spirit, was certainly not predictable. The spirit of Caleb, because it was a different spirit, was not a spirit that was going to go and huff in the corner, and not a spirit that was going to go and look for revenge and threaten these people who didn't know what they were doing all those years ago. No, I think Caleb got up every morning of his life and said, this could be the day. Because God has said it's going to happen, it might be today, so we better get ready. Leave a suitcase at the door, Pat, it's today. And if it's not today, well, it's another day that we have for me to prove faithful living. And when it comes to the kingdom of God being ushered in, we don't know when that is. It could be today, but if it's not today, well, then today is just another day we have to tell somebody else about what's coming. If it's not this week, we have another week to tell somebody else about what's going to come. And the opportunity that we have to learn from this great story of Caleb is one that is powerful for an anniversary in reflecting the past. but it's also powerful for an anniversary that anticipates the future. Because people, according to Robert Young's, are people with a different spirit, allowing them to have a God to live for, to have a faith to live by, and to have a future to live towards.
Amen.
I don't know where we would be in life as human beings if we didn't have something to look forward to. It's one of the reasons why Christmas shopping now starts at the beginning of October. It's one of the reasons why when you go to the mall, you'll hear music. There's an enticement there apart from those who have to work every day in that mall. We're looking forward to, why do we have Advent, the 4 weeks prior to Christmas? Why do we have Lent, the 4 weeks prior to Easter? It's because there's a preparation mode for every human being that prepares us for a great event. And perhaps in the wisdom of God, when he was dealing with Caleb, it was the same thing. That as Caleb got up every morning, there was the anticipation of what was coming. My favorite time of the Christmas break is actually Christmas Eve. Because when you get to Christmas Day and you open those gifts in the morning, as a kid I used to remember, well, that was it. By 10:30, that was it. Now I have to endure dinner with the entire family. And we would go to my grandmother's house, and all the cousins were there, and we would play. But the aunts and uncles, right after the Queen delivered her speech, they would fall fast asleep. And when you wanted them to put together the toy that you had just received, you couldn't wake them up. So Christmas was over. And then, worse, what was coming was you'd go back to school in just 4 or 5 days later. But the anticipation leading up to the great event is where I believe Caleb received his strength and where he was different. And so today, at the benediction of today's services, the anniversary will be over. The 80th anniversary will be over. But let me say this. Every time we have an opportunity in today's society to open those doors, it is an anniversary.
Amen.
It is a celebration. And we need to prepare ourselves as the people of God to be part of the whole, which is, in this context, a multicultural, pluralistic society in which we live. And, like Caleb, to take our moment in the sun, to be able to be ready when God calls. Not when God calls us home. We need to be ready for that. But when God calls us to do our part. December the 14th last year, I remember it well. It was like most mornings where I'm working out in the basement of my home. I do that every day for nearly an hour, and it shows. Somebody said to me coming in, I saw your photograph in the advertising. Why don't we all get old? I'm going to talk to you afterwards. But here I am working on the BBC World Service on TV now. Go to St. Paul's Cathedral. St. Paul's Cathedral is the evidence, if you like, to the great work of Sir Christopher Wren, who designed it. That church originally has stood there for many, many years, but his design, I think somewhere in the 17th century, I could be wrong about that, has this great edifice, and during all of the challenges of what happened to London during the Second World War, this dome of St. Paul's Cathedral is emblazoned on pictures, historical pictures of the Blitz. Still standing, it's still there. It has those checkered floors that are unmistakable. Many events have taken place in St. Paul's Cathedral. Many famous people are buried in the vaults of St. Paul's Cathedral. And here I am watching, on the 14th of December, I'm watching a very interesting memorial service. It is the 6-month anniversary of that terrible disaster, that fire in London at Grenfell Tower. You remember seeing that on TV, perhaps? What a tragedy. 71 people lost their lives. And so the very fact that it's a six-month anniversary is significant. It is very significant. And as I watched it, I'm thinking, wow, isn't it great that it is in St. Paul's Cathedral? Wow, chalk one up for the Christians. And then I'm watching it, and I want my faith to be reinforced. And I say, if I had been standing on the high altar area of that church, I would look down this side, and all the dignitaries are there. All the royal family, with the exceptions of the Queen and Prince Philip, but Prince Charles, Lady Camilla, his sons, and then the Lord Mayor of London, and all of the members of Parliament, and everybody who is anybody, is down this side. Down this side is just your ordinary Joe Blow people. Divided by the checkered floor aisle separating the two sides of St. Paul's Cathedral. And as I looked down this side, I saw girls and guys with hoodies on. I thought to myself, come on, you're in St. Paul's Cathedral, for goodness sake. Don't you know better? As I'm working up. And my spirit is now beginning to play this topsy-turvy game of, oh, we're in St. Paul's, but look at you. Get your hoodie down. You're in church. But then my faith is restored as the choir of St. Paul's begins to sing the great hymns of the church. And I thought, that's better. Now we're back in the sink as I'm walking back and forth. That's good. Keep on singing. And then my world is a little shaken when a rabbi comes to the microphone and begins to read from the Torah. Well, okay, not bad. That's where we come from anyway, so at least it's acceptable. Then the imam gets up and reads from the Quran. Oh, come on, this is St. Paul's Cathedral, for goodness sake. How come this is all happening? Now remember where I come from. I come from Northern Ireland, the monoculture. Everybody's white there. You're either a Protestant or a Catholic, and that's your world. You know, you're not exposed to a whole lot more, at least I wasn't, when I was growing up there. So my world now is beginning to get rocked as I try to find my step back on to the treadmill. And then we get the choir singing again. Oh, that's better. Let's keep on singing a few more verses. Let's get that going. Let's raise a sign before God. And I'm now in the process of forgetting why that service has taken place in the first place. I'm so busy trying to defend my own prejudices and my own feelings. And I'm measuring everything that's happening against my own history. And I'm forgetting why they're there. And then my world is really rocked. Leonard Cohen's song, Hallelujah, which is a great song, all right. I'm sure it's never been sung in St. Paul's Cathedral. Here's the Notting Hill Steel Band playing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. I'm not sure what to do with that. And then, the Islamic Girls Choir, over here on the left-hand side of the high altar, begins to sing, Inshallah. And I'm almost falling off the treadmill. You see those fail army pictures where you're trying to keep up and you can do the drywall? Well, that was me. I just caught myself and I'm thinking, it's a different day. Never in my day would that have happened. And then the reader from St. Paul's Cathedral, Reverend Lady comes up, and in the quietness of that moment, here's what she says. She says, I would like to read the words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If ever there was a place where people were mourning on both sides of the checkered floor aisle, it was that day on the 14th of December 2017 in St. Paul's. And the guy with the hoodie up over his head, because he didn't know any better, would have received a blessing that morning. And the people with the torn jeans, strategically torn at the knee, would have received a blessing, as would all of the dignitaries down this side. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they are the ones who will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones who will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, which, by the way, I had not been up until this moment, because I had been on that treadmill going, this just shouldn't be. What sort of a place is this now? What has the church come to? Grumpy old man. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for they are just the kingdom of heaven. And then she said, these are the words of Jesus, the Son of God. And the camera panned over the congregation. Tears were rolling down the faces of both sides. It was an equal opportunity emotional moment. It was an equal opportunity spiritual moment. It was not a case of 12 spies were sent to spy on Grenfell, 10 were bad and 2 were good. It was God is doing his thing in the midst of his people, and when the time comes for us, like Caleb, to cross over and embrace the land, we need to be ready. And that woman who read the scriptures that day had to be ready for a 5-minute insertion into an hour and a half long service to just introduce the words of Jesus. Could it be that God in his wisdom is willing to share the stage, even the stage of St. Paul's Cathedral, in order that his son Jesus might be highlighted for just 5 minutes? I've been in services that last an hour and a half and Jesus wasn't highlighted at all. Well, in this world in which we live, it's not the world of 80 years ago, Pastor. It's not the world of 80 years ago, Main Streeters. It's a different world. It's the same God. It's the same Jesus. And what he's calling us to do with great wisdom is to wait for those 5 minutes that will come by his Spirit. I take full advantage of them. It's like the cymbal player in the orchestra. Cymbal player doesn't play every note. Wouldn't that be an awful? The cymbal player plays every once in a while, but that cymbal player better play at the right time. And the only way that they'll be able to do that is if they follow the score. If they follow each note, so that when their time comes, they will clang the cymbal.
Amen.
To you on this 80th anniversary, I would say, when your time comes, which is now, which is every time that God will give you the opportunity, clang your cymbal. Don't clang it every day. Don't clang it with every note. Only clang it when the score suggests that you do. That's what people with a different spirit do. They wait for their moment to play. And they present, and God fulfills.
Amen.
Interesting that in this story of Caleb, but when he went to the place, Hebron, the hill country that God, one of the most difficult parts of the promised land, the Bible says that from the time he went into that land at 85, the land was at peace. You will get there. Moses, the one who gave the instruction, he didn't make it into the promised land, did he? God said, I want you to speak to the rock, and he hit it. So, didn't make it in. A unfortunately. But for those of you who are upset about that, go to Matthew chapter 15, and you'll see that he did make it in. Because on the Mount of Transfiguration, there he's standing with Elijah and Jesus, physically, just outside Nazareth. He might be buried in Jordan, but he was standing in Nazareth. Maybe your life suggests that you've missed the boat. Maybe you think, wow, how are we ever going to get done what God wants us to do in the world in which we live? Don't screw up your nose at that. But rather, see that as the opportunity to be the best product of God the world has ever seen. Because, I'll say this, God does His greatest work when we are under persecution. Go to Korea. Go to China. Go anywhere where the church has had to be underground. And you will see. Fear not, little flock. The future is bright. If you are people of the church.
Amen. God is